Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
But Rob, you're not the only one gloating today. I'm gloating a bit because I've got a microwave take.
Time to reheat an old hot take that's gone cold.
Hot on the outside, icicle in the middle.
It's Microwave Take with the Odd Couple.
We barely started
Rob
the
Parker
show. What?
Already told you he's taking the Jets.
J-E-T-S.
Are you taking the Jets, period?
I'm taking the points, and I think that they're going to pull the upset.
Okay, so you got them winning.
I got the Jets winning the game, and you know what? They won't even need. They won't even need the 17 points. The Ravens have won like every game. You know what? You'd rather have a hiccup. You got to lose a game before you go into the playoffs. You don't want to win and then lose your first playoff game. I think this is the game they overlooked the Jets. Sam Darnold has a coming out party, and I'm going with the Jets to win this game.
Rob Parker.
But you know what? I said it with conviction. It sounded good.
It sounded good yesterday. You had reasoning and everything. You backed it up and
I thought it was
all that.
I felt so good about that pick. And then, you know, they missed a couple of field goals early. And then it just fell apart from there.
Yeah,
I heard, on the right track.
I heard some New York radio hosts talking today, and they were like, you know, when it was 13-7,
I thought
you
was
had
a game.
To feel good.
Right.
And there's a point in every single game.
Just about.
You feel good.
Just about.
There's a couple.
Yeah, but there's a couple where you
feel good in the beginning of every game. Let's say when it was 13-7, we felt good.
Well, because they had moved the ball in the two possessions that they didn't score their first three. They missed a field goal, the first one, Chris. They scored a touchdown. And then Darnold threw an interception at, like, the three-yard line. So I'm saying...
You mean the Darnold that was supposed to have the coming-out party?
He's not ready to come out yet. He'll wait.
I'll say...
Maybe...
18 for 32.
He went back inside for right now.
218 yards.
He doesn't want to come out for the holidays. You know what I mean? His family's going to be there. His grandmother. He don't want to do that.
Well, you had to stick with your pick. You picked the Jets to make the playoffs, so you stuck with your convictions. I get it. But for me, there was no point in that game where I was concerned about not only the Ravens not winning, but not covering. So, anyway.
This is the first time you got one right. Think about your numbers today.
We don't have to go back to the preseason predictions.
No, we're not doing that. I'm talking about pigskin pickoffs.
You mean the one where I was 3-2 and you were 1-4 last week?
No, VJ was 1-4. He was not. The week before when I made the picks, what was I, Rob G? 5-0. You see that big five I'm holding up and the old zero on the other hand?
News. All I know is you were 1-4 last week. When Jonas picked for me, you guys threw it in.
No,
we
didn't.
2-8 the whole year or something picking for me.
No, we didn't. We didn't throw it in.
Because I was 66-67%.
No, you weren't. Stop.
I was.
Rob G,
I was 64 with him, something like that.
He's still talking about last year.
Anyway,
Can you move forward?
I'm cleaning my ring. That's why I got the Super Bowl
hangover.
Here we
go.
I'm cleaning my ring from last year.
How many times
did
you hear this?
Anyway, you know who did? He didn't come out.
Let me put on my new Jordans, tie him up. Hold on.
He's been out. Lamar Jackson, Rob, another sensational performance. 15 for 23, 212 yards, over 9 yards per attempt, 97.7 QBR, 134.4 rating, and 5 touchdowns, 0 picks. I mean, the dude is just, he continues to just devastate opposition. And our own Shannon Sharp, our buddy from Undisputed, he went on the air today And here's what he said.
Skippy's making it look easy. I think the thing is now, I think it's a foregone conclusion. He's going to be the MVP. The only question that I have is, will it be unanimous? We've never seen a guy, he'd lead the league in touchdown passes. Skip, he's fifth in the NFL in rushing. Mm-hmm. He's the quarterback. We've never seen anything like this. We've never seen a guy that can run like this. Like I said, Michael Vick can run like this. Okay, let's just say for the sake of argument right now, they're equal. Skip, Michael Vick finished that season when he rushed for over 1,000 yards and broke the record. He threw 20 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson has 33 with two games to go. He's on pace to go over 1,200 rush yards, which is absurd. He's going to finish somewhere between 35, 38 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. With that body of work, he's number one in QBR. Mm-hmm. Skip, he and Tom Brady are the only guys to throw five touchdowns three times with zero interceptions mm-hmm. in a season. He did that.
You know, Rob, I'm with Shannon on this. Obviously, we both talked about it a month ago. I thought Russell Wilson was the MVP. A couple of weeks ago, I thought Russell Wilson was still in the race. It's over. Barring him going out and throwing four interceptions in each of the next two games.
Nope, he's the MVP.
He is the MVP.
I don't even think that's even a question about him being the MVP.
No,
I really don't.
Barring just some ridiculous tragedy in his play over the next two weeks,
he's the MVP.
And I agree, Shannon didn't, I don't think he said it. I think he will be MVP or unanimous because who else, how can you justify? I want to hear you if you don't agree. Who in the world can you justify voting for other than Lamar Jackson?
It was Skip who said he should be unanimous.
Okay,
so not Shannon, but Skip.
And only one player, right? Tom Brady in 2010 has been unanimous. That's correct, Rob G, right?
Yeah, because there were always, as you know, Chris, when you put voters out there and they take a look at it, that's why most of the time it's not unanimous because people watch somebody closer. They'll look at, and I'm not saying when you just look at the numbers straight ahead, but last year, how did anybody not vote for Patrick Mahomes unanimously? He threw 50 touchdowns his first full season, all the records he broke and everything he did. He didn't get every vote. So I think it's very hard to be unanimous. I don't think he'll be unanimous. There'll be some Russell Westbrook people. Russell Wilson people. Probably, depending on where they finish. What if they win their last two games and Baltimore loses their last two games? And I'm not saying that the losses in the game will make the difference, but I'm saying I think there's a chance that one, two, or three people will not vote for him.
So I believe
he's going to win hands down and lopsided. He's going to win. I'm not debating that at all. I'm just saying I'm not sure it's unanimous. Because last year, if anybody should have been unanimous, it should have been Patrick Mahomes.
Well, last year, Drew Brees. I know he faded toward the end of the season, but he still had a higher passer rating than Mahomes and everybody else in the league.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson.
He still had 32 touchdowns and five interceptions. Mahomes had 12 interceptions. Like, you could make a case for Brees. Russell Wilson, 35 TDs, seven interceptions last year. You can make a case for them.
So Russell Wilson.
I don't know who else you can make a case for.
What has he done to totally be eliminated from? What has he done? He hasn't done anything. All they do is keep winning.
No. Yeah, but Russell. It's not what Wilson hasn't done. He's had a few mediocre games.
But that's not
It's what Jackson has done.
But that's not how it. That's not how it always works. And you know when it comes to voting. And people, it's to get.
So every, your argument is get, not that he shouldn't be.
Is that he won't be.
Do you think he should be unanimous?
Is that he won't be. No,
I think he should be unanimous.
I think I would vote for him, but I'm telling you, there are going to be two or three votes that do not vote for him.
So you're just saying out of, like my man, our good friend, Gary Washburn, voted for Carmelo Anthony one year when LeBron, everybody else voted for LeBron.
It happens.
Just like some writers in the baseball don't vote for somebody to make the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You're not saying he doesn't deserve it. Does he deserve to be unanimous? I'm asking you that.
I think he would get my vote. I can't vote for other people, and that's my point.
I can. I mean, seriously, we all watch the same games. We all judge.
It doesn't
work like that.
That's why
it does work like that.
No, it doesn't.
We make a. There is no way
anyone else should get a vote for MVP.
Chris, you can't say that. The
Why
last
not?
Two games haven't been played. What if he throws 8 touchdowns? Or what if they lose? What if something happens and
what
Russell
if,
Westbrook?
What if somebody
no, hold
throws 8
on.
Touchdowns?
What if Wilson wins the NFC West and there's a great game at the end and he throws 8 touchdowns or whatever it is, a shootout, and they win the division? You can't sit here and say, how is anybody else going to get a vote? We haven't seen the entire season.
Well,
I think you're premature.
Okay, I'm talking
way
about
premature.
It like right now. I'm
no,
talking about it like
the
right
season's
now.
Not over. I'm
talking
telling
about
you.
It like right now. And I said before.
There's meaningful
the
football games left.
I said at the start of this conversation, barring, you know, if he goes out and throws 4 interceptions in each of the next 2 games, yeah, of course everything changes. I am saying right now. You're right. I mean, anything could happen. I don't know what could happen, barring what I just said, that he wouldn't win MVP, but sure, there are things that could happen that would keep him from being unanimous. I'm saying right now, if everything continues, you know, there's nothing over the next 2 weeks that blows us away one way or another. Everybody keeps playing the way they're playing. Wilson, Mahomes, Breeze, Prescott, you know, Lamar, all of them. There's no way anyone else should get a vote.
They might look at it and say, look at the division that Russell Wilson's playing in, the toughest in football and what he's doing, and take a look at, well, Lamar's playing in a weaker AFC, what is it, North? What do they call it? AFC North division. And I'm just saying, you might say what Russell Wilson did against that division with those teams might say that he's more of an MVP to somebody, Chris. He wouldn't get
they
he
would
wouldn't
be
get
wrong.
My okay, but he wouldn't
they
get,
would be wrong.
Yeah, but I'm
here to say it. Look, because you can't poo-poo Lamar Jackson's schedule.
Nobody's
they
poo-pooing
Buffalo.
It.
They beat San
poo-pooing
Francisco.
It. I'm giving
they beating the Rams. Hold on. Because you can't put anybody's schedule up against this and say Jackson's wasn't good enough.
But he's
Houston,
faced more
divisions. New England,
but he's faced,
Seattle. I mean, come on.
But the division that Russell.
Forget the division.
No, I'm not going to forget
it. All the good teams.
Look at all the good teams
Pittsburgh,
in that division. I'm talking about in
Pittsburgh twice.
Would you? The NFC has three teams with double-digit wins, Chris. You got to go through that.
Who?
What do you mean, who? San Francisco.
He's beating them.
No, but I'm talking about.
Who else? Who
I'm
else?
Talking about Russell
who
Wilson.
Else?
You're not paying attention.
He's beating them.
You got, you're off on
sense.
Something. I am making sense. All I'm telling you is, and we can make a gentleman's bet for nothing, that I'm telling you there's a chance he won't be unanimous. Not that he won't win.
That's
I'm telling
not my
you.
Argument. A writer
I'm
can
saying
do whatever
he's
the heck
win.
They want.
I've seen writers, and I know how it goes.
Unanimous. I'm saying he should be unanimous. Now, you're right. A writer can do whatever the heck they want.
It's their
but I'm
vote.
Saying, I don't know how you look at anybody else and say they
Chris,
were more valuable than Lamar Jackson.
How did they look at Hank Aaron and not vote for him or Babe Ruth? I could go through the list of people.
Baseball,
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wasn't unanimous. How was Michael Jordan never unanimous?
Because Magic Johnson was always doing damage, too. Larry Bird was always doing damage, too. There were other guys, Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler. And I'm not saying Jordan never deserved it, but who else? Who
That's
else
my
is
point.
Close?
That's my point.
Who else is close?
All I'm going to tell you is you're going to be in for a rude awakening
no,
when
I'm
the
not,
award.
Oh, yeah, really? Like my life is banking on him being unanimous? I couldn't care less. I'm just telling you he should be unanimous.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
Rob, I have to admit, when I was told that we had who our guest was this week, I got a little scared.
Why?
Because usually, not all the time, but usually when you see him on the big screen, he's a gangster.
Yes, there's going to be trouble.
A real gangster, all right? A real gangster. It is Chaz Palminteri. Chaz,
what's
great
up?
Great to have you on
hey.
The Odd Couple. How are you?
All right, guys, how you doing?
We're doing great.
We are good. Now, you know, you heard what I said. I mean, you've been in the Bronx Tale, Bullets Over Broadway, Down to Earth. Now you're
right.
in Hulu's series, Godfather of Harlem, which is excellent.
Thank you.
Most of the time, you are playing that gangster role. Do people, when they see you, I got to imagine people think that that's who you are in real life, kind
of. Oh, people are terrified of me when I do that. No, it's strange. You know, I it's really strange when I have somebody come over my home and they're like, you know, they walk in and they're working on stuff and they all of a sudden I walk by and I go, how's everything going? And they look at me and they go, oh, my God.
we'll get your place cleaned up and we won't have any problems, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, of course. I just go, there's no problems here, is there? And they go, oh, my God. No.
Hey, that's life growing up in the Bronx, right?
Yeah, I loved growing up there. It was a great childhood. I had a great time. You know, people always say to me, oh, my God, it must have been horrible. And I go, no, man, it was fantastic growing up in the 50s and 60s in my Bronx neighborhood. You know, look, was there violence there? Of course. Did I see a killing when I was 9 years old, when I was sitting on the stoop, and that's how I started writing about Bronx Tale, when I didn't rat on the guy? Yes. And that's how it all started. But, you know, people always say to me, you must have been traumatized. And I say, you know, really, no, I wasn't. I just didn't rat on the person. I never thought about it. And I shouldn't say that. I did think about it for years. That's why I wrote about it when the time came to write about it.
Growing up in the Bronx, too, big Yankee fan? Or what sports did you like, teams were your favorite in New York?
Well, obviously, you know, the Yankees was the number one. You know, I was a diehard Yankee fan. My dad, you know, would always take me. I lived in the Bronx. My dad would take me to the games, you know. And I was a diehard Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris fan. I mean, I went to Knick games, and we really couldn't afford to go to too many games, you know, but it was mostly baseball. I did go to a few Knick games when, you know, my dad took me, but I was sitting up in the nosebleed seats, the old Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah.
And the Giant football, I the Rangers. I mean, I'm a true blue New York fan, you know.
As I thought when we got you on this week, Chaz, I was like, well, this is the perfect week to have him as a big-time Yankees fan because, yeah, of course, you got the big sign in the Gerrit Cole. How excited are you about that?
I'm telling you, I was over the moon when I saw that come through on my text. You know, because, look, you got to have the big horses. You got to. I mean, you could win 100 games, but if you don't have the guys in the playoffs, it's almost impossible to do it. It really is. You know.
And the Yankees have plenty of money, so they don't need to be acting like they're cheap, right?
Exactly. I mean, first of all, Cashman has done an outstanding job. Look what he's done with this talent. You know, we have a lot of guys. We have guys falling off the payroll. Tanaka will be off the payroll next year. We have money. Look, the Yankees are the best franchise in sports, God knows, worth $5, $6 billion. And you know, if George was here, boy, we would have had these guys long ago.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
you know, I have to say, but the Steinbrenners have been doing a great job. Cashman is doing a great job. But you got to be careful of money, and I think the Steinbrenners were right about that, you know. But look, you got to have somebody like Cole comes along once every generation. You got to get him. To get him.
No doubt. What about the Knicks and how stinky they are? And can you believe, seriously, that they haven't won a championship since Moby Dick was a guppy or literally 1973? I mean, come on.
You know, I know it's been rough, but I just got a feeling we're going to be so, you know, we're going to have so much money next year. I think, you know what, I'm going to give them, let's just give them another chance, really.
We've given them too many,
They
thought LeBron was coming. They thought Kevin Durant was coming. They keep losing out on these free agents.
They're going to Brooklyn. They're not coming to Manhattan.
I know, but you know what? Everybody goes, well, I'm not a Knicks fan anymore. You know, when you're a Knicks fan, you got to be, you know, I'm a diehard fan. If I'm a fan, I'm a fan all the way. So I root for the team. You know, I mean, I know it's rough. We're having obviously an incredible bad year this year. But, you know, let's hope we get somebody good in the draft. And, look, it's New York. Sooner or later, we'll attract some of the talent that'll come here. So we got to figure out the coach situation. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Chaz Palminteri, the Academy Award-nominated actor, joining the Odd Couple. Chaz, were you an athlete growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't professional level, but I was a good ball player. I boxed. I mean, I still box.
Really?
I still train. Yeah, I train 3 times a week. I train. My dad was not only a bus driver, he was a professional fight trainer. So my dad taught me when I was a little kid how to box, and I just grew up with it. You know, I grew up in the fight game, you know. I enjoy boxing. I'll train twice, three times a week. I'll do 15 rounds. Sparring. 15 rounds in the gym.
Shadow boxing.
You know, shadow boxing, heavy big, speed big,
right?
Double end big, you know, all of that stuff, you know.
So, I was going to
say, are you into this Terrence Crawford fight this weekend at the Garden?
Yeah, I mean, I'm into it. You know, Terrence Crawford's a great fighter, man. He's a good fighter, man. Really good, you know. I want to see this. I'd like to see this, Dante Wilder fight against Fury. That should be an interesting fight. I'm looking forward to seeing that one, you know.
I was at the first fight, which was a draw. It's going to be a good one. It's obviously a classic boxer against the puncher.
These fights, you know, look what happened with Joshua and Ruiz, you know, Luis, you know, I mean, I knew that was going to happen. I knew there was no way that Joshua was going to stand there and mix it up with him again. No way.
I thought he fought, I got it, look, he won, but I thought he fought scared.
Well, you could say he fought scared, or you could say he fought smart. Well, you know, why mix it up with him? And you know what I have to say? Shame on this guy, Luis Ruiz. I mean, really. You get a shot at the title, and then you come in overweight.
Right.
You know what?
He celebrated too much.
Well, it's not that. You know what? Some people, I hate to say this, but some people are not meant to be champions, and he's one of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
People always said that he was he could have been champ, he could have been champ. That's the reason why he's not champ, okay? That's the reason why. You know, you can't look at Mayweather. You know why Mayweather's the greatest? He was always in shape. Always. Mayweather was one of the greatest because he was always in shape. He's still in shape, this guy.
Yep.
He loved to go to the gym. He always came in, and he always did the right thing. This guy, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. He was wrong.
That's true.
And shame on you. Now he goes, well, anybody want to see the third fight? No, nobody wants to see the third fight. Nobody wants. And if I was Joshua, I would not give him a third fight.
No, Joshua does not want to fight him a third time.
No, why?
I'm convinced of that. Right.
You know, what's going to happen? He's going to run again. It's going to be a stinky fight.
Yep.
He had his shot, and he blew it. That's it. It's over. You know, period. Done.
That's the truth.
No doubt. I wanted to ask you, I heard you said your dad was a bus driver, and, you know, growing up in New York.
Right.
Was he like Ralph Cramden in The Honeymooners? You remember that?
No. We used to watch that. I love that show.
That show and The Odd Couple, right?
Oh, my God. The Odd Couple was great. Just great.
Chaz, you are making Rob's
you know
day
it,
laughing
because,
at his jokes.
No, because he's a New Yorker. He knows what Channel 11 is. Anybody,
absolutely.
Anybody who grew up in New York watched The Honeymooners and The Odd Couple on Channel 11, WPIX.
Absolutely.
Am I right, Chaz, forever?
Absolutely. You know, we had the rabbit ears, you know, the rabbit ears on the television.
Yep,
come
with
on.
The aluminum foil, right,
yeah,
to get a good
man.
Picture.
Yeah, come on, man. No, I love that. Look, The Odd Couple, I mean, that was just a classic. I did a play with Tony Randall. You know, I got to know, I met Jack Lemmon. I got to know Walter Matthau, the original guys.
Right.
Wow. And so, but
Tony Randall was a great actor.
Let me tell you something. I did a play with him in New York, with him and Al Pacino, myself, and John Goodman. And this guy at 80, I mean, at that time he was probably about 84, 85, never missed a line.
Oh.
Never, ever missed a line. I mean, amazing actor. Really, I have nothing but respect for him.
And just so you know, I'm Oscar and Rob is Felix.
No, I'm not. I'm Oscar.
That's
yeah, who's Oscar and who's Felix?
I'm Oscar. I mean, it's just obvious.
And you do have a one-man
Bronx Tale one-man show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I still do. Yeah, well, the original. Look, people don't realize it's the first time in the Guinness Book of Records, the first time it's ever been done, where I did the one-man show. That's what De Niro saw. You know, it became the hottest property in the world at the time in 1989. And everybody, every actor, writer, director, producer wanted to make it, but they didn't want me. They wanted to put a star in the role. And they wanted somebody else to write it. I refused. It was they offered me $200,000. I had $200 in a bank, and I said no, because they wouldn't give me the part. And then it went to $500,000. Then it went to $1 million on a period over about 3 months this happened.
How tough was that to to, you know you didn't have any money in the bank.
Yeah.
And they put that money in front of you and you turned it down.
You know, guys, the first offer was the hardest because that came out of nowhere. After that, it became easy for me because it was just numbers to me. It didn't mean anything. When you got nothing to lose, as Bob Dylan used to say.
Right.
You know, so I really didn't care. And then one day I did the show. I got up stage and somebody walked, the stage manager walked over to me and said, "Hey, Robert De Niro is in your dressing room." I go, "What?" He goes, "Well, he just saw the show. He just walked into your dressing room. He wants to see you." So I got up stage and went down there, and there was Bob De Niro, you know?
Wow.
And he
wow.
said, "Man, that was the greatest one-man show I ever saw." He goes, "You did a movie on stage." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I want to make it, Bob, but I want to." He goes, "I know what you want. I heard all about it." He says, "I'll tell you what we'll do." He says, "You'll play Sonny, you'll be great, and you'll write it because it's your life. I'll play your father, and I'll direct it, and we'll go partners, and that's the way it'll be." And that's what happened.
Wow.
Wow, that is great.
That's a great story.
That is great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was amazing. So it went from a one-man show to a movie to a Broadway musical. First time it's ever been done.
Wow.
Unbelievable. You can go to ChazPalminteri.net for the upcoming tour dates for the one-man show of A Bronx Tale. And you got an Italian restaurant in New York City.
Oh, my restaurant.
I'm coming by.
I got to tell you right now, guys. I don't know where you are in Manhattan, but listen to me. And I say this humbly, but if you know what they say, if it's true, it ain't bragging. My Italian restaurant, Chaz Palminteri's, on 30 West 46th Street, is one of the best Italian restaurants in New York. Absolutely.
Wow.
I don't say the best because there's a lot of great restaurants here. But I am one of the best in the top five, without a shadow of a doubt. But let me tell you, it's the service. The food. Look, my name's on it. It's got to be fresh constantly. Everything's
got
to be fresh.
All right. We will be there.
Thank you.
We will be there for sure.
Chaz,
thank you,
appreciate
Chaz.
It. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holiday, guys. Have a wonderful Christmas and happy new year, and God bless you both.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Sad day. David Stern, the ex-commissioner of the NBA, they call him the NBA Commissioner Emeritus. He is in the hospital now with a brain hemorrhage, and he suffered it yesterday afternoon, and now he's in the hospital, 77 years old, and you know how serious a brain hemorrhage is.
Oh, yes.
So this is a tough day for the NBA. You know, when I covered the league as a beat writer, David Stern was the commissioner. I did a couple of sit-down, one-on-one interviews with him. And I think, Rob, not that he was perfect, because he certainly wasn't. I think, though, that he was the best commissioner in American sports history. And here's why I say that. We all know how bad of a place the NBA was in the 70s. Whether it was overblown or not, the reputation of the league was just a drug-infested league. The games were on tape delay.
The championship. I was a kid watching the NBA, and you would watch the local news, Chris, at 11 o'clock. And I can remember the sportscaster, Warner Wolf, saying, "Hey, I'm going to tell you the score. So if you're going to watch the NBA Finals that's coming on at 11:30, turn your sound down or turn your head." Because the game had already been played. Is that unbelievable, Chris?
No, that I remember. Look, the game that I contend is probably the best individual performance of all time when you consider the stage, the characters, the opponent, everything, the age of this guy, Magic Johnson, I'm talking about.
Yep.
42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists as a rookie playing center in game 6 of the NBA Finals. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, MVP of the league that year, is out with an ankle injury, and he's going against a guy he looked up to, Dr. J. You know, just the whole thing. It was on tape delay. You had to wait for the young folk that are like, "Tape delay? What do you mean?" The game would be played live, and it's not on TV. And then in the East, it'd be 11:30 at night.
And it would come on after your late local news.
They would put the game on. So if you wanted to watch, you had to stay up that late. But the league was a mess. I mean, Rob, obviously I'm a basketball guy. I played in college. It's my favorite sport. But football might be my favorite sport, but that's the sport I've become known to cover.
Right.
Growing up young, football and baseball were way ahead of basketball in my life and most people's lives. Like basketball wasn't even on the radar. I mean, when I was really young, it was more about football and baseball. And my point is that David Stern, he took over in 1984 and, you know, obviously he took the league global and the contracts went from the average salary when he took over in 84, $250,000 a year for the average player to $5 million a year when he left and turned it over to Adam Silver. And I'd say he's the best commissioner because of the obstacles. One, as I just said, where the NBA was, the reputation being drug infested. Also, it was a league that was, even at that time, it was 75% African-American. And with the racism in the country, even more so back then than it is now, that was a big obstacle. It was viewed as just a black league. And I think that was an obstacle baseball and football did not have. And I think his genius was in marketing the individuals.
But I'll say this to you, and I'm not here to bash David Stern, who did a great job as commissioner. But he was also a guy who was in the right place at the right time. Magic, a showman going to L.A., a great white player going to Boston, and then Michael Jordan comes along. So I understand what you're saying, Chris. A lot of it has to do with the players that came when he was commissioner, and that's what turned the NBA around more so than just the marketing. It's easy. You could come up with a marketing plan, but if I don't have the great players to market, I don't care what plan you have, it ain't going to work. So I'm not saying that David Stern didn't do a great job as commissioner, but I can't give him the credit and say that he's the greatest commissioner ever. I don't buy into that.
I do, and you're right. Obviously, he had great players, and they deserve the credit for taking the league to where it's gone. But don't act like you didn't have great players in the 70s.
No, but I'm just...
I mean, Dr. J, Magic and Bird, Dr. J was as big as them. Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kareem's prime was in the 70s.
But
it wasn't the 80s, it was the 70s.
Do you remember how bad the Celtics...
You had Bill Walton, the white star.
But do you remember how bad the Celtics were before they got Bird? I mean, it was perfect.
Well, they won the championship, though, in 75.
I'm just talking about how bad
they got them. Yeah, but I'm saying they were still... They won the championship in 76. You had... You know, Elvin. I mean, you had a lot of great players. He marketed individuals. This is where I think he was genius. He marketed the individual. And so even if the team was bad, it got to a point like now. Sacramento's not very good, but I want to see De'Aaron Fox.
He also changed.
Phoenix is not very good, but I want to see Devin Booker. So it's in. Now some people think that's a negative because it's more about the individual than the team. But I also think it's helped make these players the most marketable athletes, American athletes in the world. And I think that was genius to market the individuals.